Medford. MFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Chase Mullane with you until 9 o'clock tonight on this July 14th.
Yes.
Is that what this is? July 14th?
I guess. I mean, well, for people from Quincy, which is where I'm from, it's just our version of July 4th. For a lot of people, that's the case, actually.
Especially those people sitting on the highway in the traffic. That's a big part of the July 4th.
Yes.
Is sitting
that
in traffic.
I mean, it's kind of tradition, if you will.
Happy July 14th to you.
You're all a bunch of dummies.
Happy July 14th to you, wherever you may be, sitting in traffic or sitting at home with margaritas and burgers on the grill.
I'm driving to the Cape after this.
Nice.
Because nobody likes driving in the middle of the night, except Shay.
Well, it was funny because I left the office at 3:30 today, I think, somewhere around that.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is later than I wanted to get out, but much earlier than I usually get out. Everybody was on the road. And fortunately for me, I was going
I believe that. That's why I purposely actually left an hour later than I usually leave to get here from the South Shore, just because I was like, everyone's leaving their work early.
Fortunately, I was going in the opposite direction of all the traffic, but the traffic was insane. And now you look out the window and there's nobody anywhere. Like, everybody apparently has gotten where they're going, and the roads are free and clear for the rest of the night, unless you're trying to get out of New York City, where a garbage truck fell onto a bus off an overpass near the Port Authority bus terminal.
Oh, my goodness. That explains so much, because I was like, why is the traffic hard here? I'm sorry for that, for everyone that was involved in that.
Can I tell you how... because I was in New York last weekend, and before I get into that, by the way, a little teaser for what's coming up later. Massachusetts is the last state, and I'm going to tell you what that means a little later tonight. Massachusetts is the last state, and it is nothing to be proud of. So I was in New York this past weekend and going down to see some shows. To Kill a Mockingbird, really, really good.
Oh, I imagine
Really good. Really, really good. Jeff Daniels, really, really nice guy. Saw that. Saw The Ferryman. Unbelievable. Absolutely deserved the Tony. Great show. Saw Working while I was down there. Helen Hunt was in it.
Yes, I heard that. I love her.
She's fit.
She's in one of my favorite movies that is also about the mental disorder I have, so...
I didn't know she could sing, and it turns out that she can.
Of course she can sing. It's Helen Hunt. She's a jack of all trades, if you will.
But
which is ironic, because a man named Jack was in my favorite movie with her.
But it took 8 hours to drive to New York City.
Oh, I don't believe.
Not 8. It took 7. And I'm used to doing it in like less than 4. I'm used to doing it in like 3.5. And this isn't my first rodeo driving down to New York City on a Friday either. I know there's traffic. I know how to do this. This was insane. And apparently everybody was heading to New York for Pride this past weekend, because nothing was moving anywhere trying to get into New York City all day long. And we just barely made our 6 o'clock dinner reservation, leaving at 8 in the morning.
Oh my God.
Or leaving at 10 in the morning.
Well, I remember.
Like, what? What is it? We actually moved our reservation back because we knew we weren't going to get into the city on time.
I remember when. I was driving to go to my interview at Fordham, which was at the Lincoln Center campus. So For those of you who don't know Manhattan very well,
Lincoln Center may as well be in New Jersey.
Yeah, like it's the bottom part of the Upper West Side. It's almost near where Central Park ends and becomes the city.
They like to tell you it's Midtown, but it's not Midtown.
It's totally not Midtown. It's like the part that you can still breathe before Midtown is the best way of putting it.
You get into a cab, and you're like, take me to Lincoln Center. And then 20 blocks later, you're like, where? I said Lincoln Center, where are we going?
But my mother and I left at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to my 2 o'clock interview, just to be sure that we would make it there on time.
Should be
and
no
we
problem.
Were and we were planning on like we can have lunch before we can take the tour.
You can go to the Cracker Barrel at exit 37 in Connecticut.
Yeah, we ended up having to call just to say like there was a blizzard. To be fair, but we had to call just to say like we left like ridiculously early, and it's still gonna be a while. I made it there on time, by the way, though. But it was like she dropped me off and parked. that's how early I made it there.
I have driven the I-84 in a blizzard, and I will tell you never, ever, ever again.
Oh, it's awful.
Because that 2-lane stretch around Sleeping Giant.
Mm-hmm. I know just what you're talking about.
The Connecticut Department of Public Works, or whatever they call them down there, does not feel the need to plow both lanes of the highway. So all of a sudden, the high-speed lane just disappears, and everyone's still doing 70 because it's the
I-84. Everyone just, like, totally forgot that that happened.
And it's like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you have vehicles merging at 70 miles an hour in a snowstorm. And it's like, what? Where does the highway keep disappearing to? Why does it keep going away? Why haven't you plowed this?
To be honest, I actually, the worst car crash I've ever seen was on 91, which leads to 84. Yeah. Or does 84? No, 84 leads to 91.
It depends on which way you're going. If you're coming from Boston,
south.
If you're going south,
yeah, so
the 91 takes you to 84.
90, 84, 91.
Yeah, you're on the 91 for like 10 minutes.
I was on 91 for like 3 minutes. It's funny. I'll always remember I was listening to an Elton John song. And you know how sometimes rappers do remixes of songs where they add like crashing sounds?
Yes.
I thought to myself, like, I didn't think I downloaded this crashing sound remix, like this remastered version of this. It was something like Daniel or Man on the Moon, like, you know what I mean? Not Man on the Moon, Rocket Man. And as I'm thinking this, I see the car in front of me slam into the car in front of them, make it flip over and go into the middle, and have them swerve. And it was one of those moments that I was really happy that I had done stand-up comedy, because if there's one instinct that stand-up comedy breeds you to have, for lack of a better term, it's quick reflexes.
Yes.
It's reacting quickly. And so I saw this and my brain froze for a moment, but then I went choo, choo, and like jerked my wheel, and I landed on the shoulder, stopped right between them. And another car was already all the way into like the ravine. If you've driven on 94, know there's like a dip of trees.
Everyone knows the ravine.
And one was just wrapped around one of the trees.
Jeez.
And I sat there being like, I'm technically not involved in this accident. I didn't hit anybody. And then I saw somebody pull back who had like a medical kit and stuff. And I'm sorry, pulled aside, who had a medical kit, and I was like, okay, I can keep going. But then I used my cell phone to call 911, but as most people know, it's illegal to use your cell phone in Connecticut. So as I'm on the phone with the 911 dispatcher, I said, wait, am I going to get in trouble for driving?
I think that's an exception.
While I do this?
I think they let you do
like,
that.
I was going to say, I kept driving like to find out what the next exit was so I could give an accurate description of where it happened. And and the 911 dispatcher said to me, I'm pretty sure if you get pulled over for talking on your cell phone and show the police officer that your last number dialed was 911,
they're gonna let you
I'm pretty sure they're gonna let you go.
I didn't see any accidents on the way down or back. My favorite, by the way, is always semi versus bridge abutment, because those the trailers just rip to shreds when they hit those.
Oh yeah, I imagine so.
They explode and cargo goes everywhere. Because what you don't realize is that those trailers are actually made out of balsa wood for the most part, because they want them to be lightweight. They're just strong enough to hold together. But on our way back, there was a vulture eating a dead baby deer off to the side of the high speed lane.
I'm so glad you said deer. Yeah. I mean, that's still sad, but it would be way worse if it was a dead baby.
Yeah, no, pretty young deer, very, very small deer being snacked on by a vulture.
That is very sad.
Yeah.
But circle of life and all that.
Yep.
Well, the thing is, while I was in like the Dakotas and Montana, I just watched and was like, oh, right, there are still wild animals.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm used to simply squirrels and birds and whatever.
We got turtles in my office.
We have turkeys in my neighborhood. We have a mutual tolerance, if you will.
As long as you stay out of their way.
And they stay out of mine.
Turkeys.
Like I'll try to pull into my parking space and I just look at them like, dude.
Yeah.
You're in my way.
They're pretty arrogant about being where they want to be, the turkeys. They're
Have you ever seen them hop? It's hilarious.
Yeah. But they're like, I'm a giant bird. Like, don't mess with me.
I'm a giant human being.
Yeah, I have a car. Get away from me.
I know that a lot of you don't know what I look like, but I am a 6 foot tall, very broad woman.
Yeah.
I do not recommend messing with me.
Can I tell you something?
Animal or human.
Can I tell you something, though? As a 6 foot tall male above average weight.
It's not an adorable way to put that.
Well, it's not like, I'm not like.
I say you're not fat.
I'm not obese. I'm just, packing some extra pounds here.
You got some stuff to throw around.
Turkeys will mess with me like nothing. Turkeys are like, bring it on.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, what? Come on. Really? You?
I was going to say, there was one time that like, one of them bird. Got in my way when I was walking my dog. And I just kind of looked at it like, you get there are two more powerful beasts in front of you. And then eight more turkeys came along. And I was like,
Yeah. We're going to go the other way now.
Now I feel a little intimidated.
Yeah.
So should we talk about the news?
Yeah.
So, folks.
I think that's why we're here.
I will tell you that our internet is down. So this is going to be very interesting.
So Shay's going to be delivering the news in text form tonight.
Yes, evidently so. I don't have a big, cool, plugged into the wall computer like Derek.
Let's be
does.
More specific about this. Your internet is down. Mine works fine over here because I'm on the wired connection.
Our Wi-Fi is down. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak improperly.
The mighty, mighty WMFO Wi-Fi has gone down for the evening. It's taking its 4th of July vacation. It's sitting in traffic on the highway.
Yeah, it's really fun and not annoying at all. What did I have? Well, the other thing is you have to understand. There we go. You have to understand that I have, as a comedian and other things, I have some people that bother me sometimes. So I have multiple email accounts. So I have to open the proper one in order to get to what I'm looking for. Anyways. In local news, according to the Patriot Ledger, hundreds of people took to the South River in their biggest, most colorful inflatables for the town's fourth annual Hummaflock today in Scituate. Apparently undeterred by concerns in recent weeks that the informal celebration might be called off because it had grown so large that it might require a federal permit. Richard Lonigan, who had just helped push his daughter Courtney and her boyfriend out into the water from his yard on River Street, said it was strange that the government got involved in such a harmless event, though it hadn't stopped him from having a great time with his family. I found the story very interesting because it is, for those of you who don't know where Hummerock is, it's kind of between the coasts of Scituate and Marshfield. It's basically, it's kind of a tiny peninsula that sticks out from there. But it's perhaps the most quiet community I've ever been to. I mean, my aunt and uncle own a house there, and it's pretty nonchalant is the best way to put it. Like, I think they have one general store and one restaurant, and it's very non-controversial.
It's the Linfield of the South Shore?
Yeah, like, it's very, like, it's, people forget it's there.
Yeah.
And the fact, I mean, it's where I go when there's a hurricane because it's a safe place to watch the big waves.
But now, like, how many people are showing up for this thing that, like, the feds are like, wait a second?
Well, that's the thing, is it's gotten into the thousands.
Ooh, and that's, wow.
And yeah. Basically, the festival is, it's all those floaty duck things, like the big ones, the rafts. It's just a bunch of people floating in the water there. And because of the way that it's... the way that it's configured by the peninsula in reference to Boston Harbor and Massachusetts Bay, it's, the water is very, very mild there, except for if there's a hurricane.
Right.
But for the most part, it's really, it's timid. It's fine. So it's just a bunch of people getting, like, literally the entire festival is a bunch of people getting on rafts and floating together and giggling. Like, that's the entire thing.
You know who loves an event like that?
Me.
Sharks.
Well, that's, I would say that, that was one of the concerns was,
aren't there a bunch of sharks out off the coast right now?
Of sharks.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, and I've explained to lots of people that sharks don't actually like human, this seems so dark and morbid to say, but sharks don't actually like human flesh. It's not there. It's like, I don't like ham, I like salami.
Right.
It's like the same sort of thing. The reason that sharks attack humans is because they swim as though they are injured seals.
But the thing about sharks is, you know, unlike most humans who will see a food on a plate and say, I don't like that, sharks don't do that. They taste first, and their tasting can be lethal.
But the thing is, well, what
I'm
saying is,
the problem with sharks, like, the sharks need to get on board. The sharks need to stop being like, I don't know if I like that or not. I'm going to take a bite and see if I do. Like, because if you did that, Shay, if you went to a, you know, if you went to somebody's house for dinner, or you were,
well,
at an event.
Well, I would eat everything to be polite, even if I didn't like it.
And you took a bite of something and put it down and said, no, I don't like this. Everyone rightfully would be mad at you. And I think we have a right to be mad at the sharks for this, because the sharks have...
I think we have a right to be mad at sharks for a lot of things.
Worse etiquette than millennials, is what I'm saying.
Oh, God.
About the sharks.
You're tossing the millennials around. We're only 20 minutes into the
show. Well, we did that last week. We talked about bad millennial etiquette. I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about the bad millennial who had no manners.
I'm not a millennial!
I said I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the bad millennial who had no manners from last week.
Who was on last week?
What, you don't remember this conversation? The girl in the restaurant that came over and tried to silence me?
Oh, I thought you meant like on the show last week.
No.
Yes,
we
I do
talked
remember
about
that.
This on the show.
Yes, I know. That was 2 weeks ago, Derek.
Nobody cares about my stories.
Are you senile?
No. No, that was last week that we talked about that.
No, that was not last week because I wasn't here last week.
You were here last week. You weren't here.
Oh, I was. I'm sorry.
Okay, who's senile now?
I guess I am senile.
Yes.
The Montana trip has put me in a blur. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Are you still on West Coast time? Is that what's going on?
A little bit. Right. Well, we switched time zones 3 times in one day. It was very off-putting.
Right. We need to talk about something important.
I'm sorry, sharks aren't important. Inflatable ducks are not important,
listen,
Derek.
The sharks have a name for that event. They call it a smorgasbord, and they look forward to it every year.
One of them, I'll get into that.
No, what? You've got something to add. I'm not trying to cut you off.
Well, there's a girl, I saw this while I was in Montana, and I forgot to mention it last week, apparently, because I was still just like, what is the world? There was a girl who was mauled by a shark off the coast of, I believe it was South Carolina.
Wait, we're not talking about the girl whose parents watched her die, are we?
No.
Okay, because I can't I can't even. That story is so horrifying.
Quite the opposite. Her father saved her.
Oh, that's good.
She did lose the bottom half of her leg, or one of her legs. And
you can live without that.
Both of her forearms were very badly injured. She lost a couple fingers, but
you can live without those.
She was swimming in maybe 3 feet of water.
Yep.
Like, that's what her father said, is that they were not even waist deep.
Doesn't matter.
And that's, I even went, I was at, my boyfriend has a house in Brewster in Cape Cod, which is like pretty down there, but still, you know, not like straight up ocean. And the whole time we were there, he kept saying to his son, like, you're not waist deep, come back. And, or you're more than waist deep, rather. And I, you know, as a kid, we used to swim out like to where I couldn't touch my feet without having my head go underwater. And at first I thought he was being a bit overbearing, but then when I stopped to think about it, I was like, no, that's not. And then I read that story.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, you're totally right.
No, sharks.
Like, they'll go as shallow as like 2.5 feet. As long as they can keep their body submerged in water, they'll go there.
In addition,
but no, this girl's, I think she was like 16 years old, and her father literally, it breaks my heart to even say it out loud, but her father literally tore her out of the shark's mouth.
Yeesh.
Like, that's why she doesn't, her just above her knee and below is gone.
She's alive. That's the important
thing. She's alive.
Thing.
And
that's
she, and she's being awesome about it.
Yeah.
Like, there's one of two things you can do when something like that happens to you. And one is just wallow and be terrified of everything and feel awful. And the other is to be so grateful that you made it through that.
Yep.
And she chose the latter. And her watching interviews that she's had and watching how doting she is to her father is really...
She better be. Guy saved her life.
It's really nice. I've saved people's lives before. They're not as grateful as one might think.
No. An update to a story from last week. This is from the Hartford Current. It's Connecticut. You can guess what this is.
Did someone's pearls get ruined?
No.
Is their Volvo smashed up?
Every now and again, you have to, in this business, in this role behind the microphone, we operate with the information that we have at any given point in time.
This is true.
And when you get something wrong, because
Is anyone in the studio listening to this? Can you please press the reset button on our Wi-Fi? This is really annoying.
When you get something wrong because you have incomplete information or wrong information, it behooves you to get on the air and correct it. When you have something this wrong, you have to spend an entire segment talking about what the hell is going on
state. This is going to be fun.
From the Hartford Current, Massachusetts Governor Baker admits Connecticut did nothing wrong in arrest of man charged with killing 7 in New Hampshire crash. Massachusetts Governor Baker admits Connecticut did nothing wrong in arrest of man charged with killing 7 in New Hampshire crash. This is, of course, our friend Volodymyr Zhirovsky, who was operating a pickup truck towing a flatbed trailer and took out 10 motorcyclists.
Motorcyclists, yes.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie...
I knew one of them.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker said Monday that an investigation has found his state failed to act after Connecticut's Department of Motor Vehicles notified Massachusetts of the drugged driving arrest of a man who weeks later, was charged with killing 7 motorcyclists in a New Hampshire crash. Previously, Massachusetts officials had blamed Connecticut for failing to properly notify Massachusetts after the arrest of Volodymyr Zhukovsky on May 11th in East Windsor. Baker said Monday that Connecticut did nothing wrong and admitted his registry of motor vehicles had not acted on notifications that could have led to the suspension of hundreds of driver's licenses, including Zhukovsky's.
Which would have prevented the death of seven people.
Massachusetts officials acknowledged...
As I said, one of whom I knew.
Massachusetts officials...
I can't say I know, because he's dead.
Massachusetts officials acknowledged Monday that the Connecticut DMV notified Massachusetts of Zhukovsky's arrest electronically and then by overnight letter the next day. Both communications were not acted upon by Massachusetts, which could have revoked Zhukovsky's license weeks before the New Hampshire fatalities. Here is a fun detail.
Jesus Christ.
And this detail is somewhere...
I'm sorry, I don't mean to... I don't know if that's a curse yet, but
somewhere,
sorry,
somewhere far down in the story, I have to go looking for it. Or is it in this... is it in this one or is it in a different one? It's a different one.
This is really cute, by the way.
The investigation. Here we go. Baker said Monday that an investigation discovered that Massachusetts had been ignoring hundreds of notifications from other states since March 2018.
Jesus Christ.
In the future, he said, such notifications will be processed.
That's over a year. Like, that's almost a year and a half.
In the future, he said, such notifications will be processed within a day of when they are received. Quote, the registry must live up to its responsibility to track all violations, Baker said. Yes, indeed, it must. Now, I don't know if this is related or not, but on Monday, so they found this out. They got through this entire backlog from March 2018 and sent out all of these license suspensions. I don't know if this is related or not. But on Monday, apparently there were so many people at the Brockton RMV that they were turning people away. They actually had to shut it down because the building was full to capacity. I don't know if these things are related or not, but one suspects hundreds of license suspensions go out and suddenly the RMV
is
full.
Everyone's freaking out.
Maybe a lot of these people are in the Brockton area. I don't know.
The thing about that... The reason it's so important to report and enforce that in this area is that this is a driving area. Our bars close before, after the tea closes. We have five states within driving distance. One, two, three, four. We have six states within driving distance. Most people have cars and actively drive wherever they're going. It's not like New York City. Like, my sister bought a car after living in New York City for 10 years. Like, it's a very driving area.
Yeah.
So if somebody has done something so dangerous as to have a DUI or to drive recklessly or whatever it is, it should really be reported.
This is
like immediately.
This is
that
insane.
Is, I can't believe that this is over a year, and like you said, this person caused the death of seven people.
The other three are still in the hospital, as far as
I was going
to
say. The other ones are probably in critical condition. The last time I checked, they were. Hopefully, it's moved up. But
this is insane. This should be the only headline that anyone in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is talking about right now.
And that's what's crazy is that, like, it's, you look at any news site, it's not.
RMV. Massachusetts RMV ignored.
Really mad about
ignored.
The candidates we're going to forget tomorrow.
Massachusetts RMV ignored out-of-state OUIs for a year. More than that, for 15 months.
And as I said, in a state that is very car dependent, we have some public transit, but it's not sufficient enough for, like, my boyfriend takes the T or takes the boat to work every day. He still has a car and he still drives most of the time.
Yeah.
That's the case with almost almost everybody in the state.
Unless you live, like, in Boston
unless
Cambridge.
Unless you live, like, near Downtown Crossing.
Even in Somerville, everybody's got a car.
Yeah. Like, I have one friend in Somerville who doesn't have a car and is constantly asking for rides.
Yeah.
Like,
you need to stop being friends with that person.
I already did.
Good. Because
she's a terrible human being.
She's not a terrible human being, but
yes,
she's asking
is.
You for rides too many times. You know that I like her.
No, she's a terrible human being. She called me fat.
That's your, well.
Oh, are you saying I'm fat, Derek?
No, that's a bad thing to say, and you should never say that to another human being.
Exactly. She's a terrible person.
She's, okay.
A terrible person.
Anyway.
That's, I mean, it's, that's really upsetting. Our government has failed us in that regard.
We know now. We know now.
Or
why.
I guess not our government, just that branch of our government has failed us, because the entire reason that violations like that are put on record is to prevent something like this happening.
We know now.
To stop this from happening. And I have a friend who's in the motorcycle gang. They're not a gang.
They're a club.
You know,
it's a motorcycle club.
Thank you. I was going to say gang makes it sound like they're criminals, but I have a friend who's in the motorcycle club that was riding. And I've hung out with one of the guys that died lots of times. And they were nice people. I mean, I'm not a motorcycle person.
They're ex-Marines. They're like, they're national heroes.
I would say they're good people. They're good people that just have already had this big thrust of adrenaline in their life and wanted a constructive way to keep it going, basically. Because that's my friend I know them through is also an ex-Marine. But it's, I mean, they weren't doing anything wrong. They were just...
They were going to a fundraiser, for crying out loud.
I was going to say, they were just living their best life. I know that sounds so cheesy, but it's the best way to put it. They were just trying to live their best life.
So we know now...
And then someone ruined their lives and the lives of everyone who cares about them.
We know now...
And I barely knew him. So, like, I'm not trying to... But...
We know now why former RMV head Aaron Devaney walked off the job, like a couple days later, because
he was doing a really bad job.
She knew immediately. Oh yeah, this is not going to end well. So she's gone, and all of this just sort of, you know, water off a duck's back as far as she's concerned.
Cute.
I don't know how you hold anyone accountable for this. You can't sue the state. There are rules in place that prevent the state from accepting liability, even in a case of gross negligence. And that's exactly what this is. There is no other way to describe this other than gross negligence. You did not deal with out-of-state OUI offenses for 15 months. How the hell does this happen? How does this happen?
Seriously, like, are you playing... I just had a 1995 moment and was going to say, are you playing Minesweeper all day? Like, this should be your number one priority.
I want to hear the first thing that I want to hear. The first thing that I want to hear. And this is what the voters need to demand. Is that anybody working for the RMV who is associated with this is fired. Gone.
Yeah, totally.
Gone.
This is the definition.
We can't sue you. We can't throw you in jail.
But this is the definition of having blood on your hands.
But I'm sorry, you do not get
you
to keep...
You are the reason that people are dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
You
think
do,
about it.
You do
think
not...
Think about if somebody hit you with their car tomorrow and it could have been prevented. That's what this is.
You do not get to keep suckling at the taxpayer's teat in a government job if you are this incompetent. Gone. Every last one of them. Every last one of them. Then I want to find out who hired these people and who is overseeing these people. And I want them gone. And this is what our politicians on Beacon Hill should be demanding right now. I don't hear anybody talking about it. Why don't I hear anybody talking about it? Why isn't the pressure, well, we can get 300 people to go march on an ICE detention center over there in Dorchester and scream concentration camp because we know nothing about history and we know nothing about what World War II was. But we can't demand accountability from a registry of motor vehicles that let out-of-state OUIs slide for 15 months, leading to the deaths of 7 innocent people.
Well, that's the great irony that we live in, Derek, which is most people are really uninformed and stupid. And even the informed are often stupid.
Here's what happened. Let there be no question about this. If anyone asks you, Our government failed to do its job.
No offense to all of you who fall into those categories listening.
The Massachusetts RMV failed to do its job. It let a person with a history of intoxicated driving stay on the road because they hadn't been looking at out-of-state offenses for 15 months, and he went up to New Hampshire, killed 7 people, and put 3 more in the hospital. Marines, people who fought for this nation and their spouses, people who were raising money.
Who fought for all of us.
People who were raising money for a good cause.
My grandfather was a Marine.
You're happy with that? You're okay with that? You're like, eh, no big deal. I got other things to worry about with that? No, you should not be okay with that. This is one that the people win if the people make noise and the people demand accountability from our elected officials. You'll see them hanging around your town. You'll see them hanging around. They'll be around for the 4th of July. They'll be around this summer. They'll be there with their hands out saying, hey, re-election, give me money. You need to be asking them. What is going to happen at the RMV?
What are you doing? Like, I've been watching the show Veep. I've never watched it before. I know it's over now, but I've been watching it on HBO Go, whatever. My boyfriend has good stuff. But I watch it, and I get so frustrated and, like, pace around the room.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's bothering you? I'm like, because this is, it's so accurate. This is actually what's happening. It's all pomp and circumstance. It's all, let's make this look good instead of just making things good. Like, it's all a show when it should be all making things happen. Like, my mom's brother, sorry, Mom, I won't say his name. I'm sure you don't want this on the radio, but my mom's brother, died after he was drinking too much and getting into trouble when he lived here in Boston, and he moved to Florida to just try to change his life. And on his 20th birthday, he was crossing the street and got hit by a drunk driver.
Oh, yikes. That sucks.
And died.
Irony.
Yeah, but as far as I know, there were no real consequences for this man. And the irony also being that in terms of my mom is one of 10 children, and I've always been told that I would have got along with Donnie really well. Gotten along, rather, sorry. But things like that make me really frustrated. And that's why, like, it makes me upset. It makes my mother upset when I sleep in my car sometimes, and I tell her I do it for Donnie because I don't want to be one of those people.
Yeah.
Like, I know, a friend of mine from high school, she was technically my sister's friend, but she was like my friend too, got hit by a car 3 days before their prom and 5 days before their graduation and died. And it was not the woman's fault. She was completely sober. It was just that Kate was short and she jaywalked in front of a plumber's van, and then the next car hit her. And that woman ended up being hospitalized, like mentally hospitalized, because yep. She couldn't handle that she killed an 18-year-old. But I like, to this day, I think about that, just thinking, I could not live with myself. Like, I understand why she had to go to a mental hospital, because I could not live with myself.
Oh, this guy, Zhirovsky, doesn't care. He's just high behind the wheel all the time.
I was going to say, that's the thing, is that
that's his jam.
It's if someone has already been caught for that, stop them from driving.
Either.
There are people, I will admit, sometimes I'll have 3 beers, maybe I'll be slightly over the limit, and I'll drive 3 miles. But like I said, I'll sleep in my car if I know for a fact, or I'll sleep at a friend's house or something, if I know for a fact that I should not be behind the wheel, because I do not want to put myself or anybody else in that position. And it is incredibly, incredibly selfish to just say, screw it, other people's lives don't matter.
Yeah.
Like, it is so amazingly selfish.
But you know what? There are people who are going to do that, and that's where we got to move on. That's where government comes in. And one of two things has to happen here. Either We got the ability to sue the government when they screw up this spectacularly, when you have this level of gross neglect, or everybody who was anywhere near this gets fired. Anything less than one of those two outcomes is unacceptable.
True that.
You're up.
WMFO Medford. You want to stick with local?
Yeah, we can stick with local.
Funny's the wrong word. This one is interesting. This is, again, the Patriot Ledger. I love you guys. A Quincy man accused of trying to burn down a Washington Street business, which for those of you who know Quincy or vaguely know Quincy, that's basically around Route 3A, with multiple Molotov cocktails, has announced that he will not seek bail and will remain in jail for 4 months as he awaits his next hearing. A judge ordered Dylan Jude Hanley, 27, of 29 Packards Lane, apartment 1 in Quincy, held pending a hearing to determine if Hanley is in danger, is a danger to the public following his arraignment Friday on charges including arson and breaking and entering. Hanley pled not guilty. His attorney, Karen Wayne, said before the hearing scheduled for today that Hanley would not seek bail as a result that he feels that he is in danger. His decision not to seek bail means he will remain in Dedham Jail for 120 days as his case moves through the court system.
Any particular reason for hucking these Molotov cocktails other than the fact that he's mentally ill?
No, see, that's the thing, is that the reason that I noted this story is I grew up in Quincy, and while...
the audience would never know that.
Shut up. even just based on me telling you to shut up says that I grew up in Quincy. But I can honestly say that I have never been involved in anything like this. Do you have a Bible? I'll put my hand on it.
It's kind of sad when you come from a place and you have to say
and
that.
You have to say that.
You know, we don't have this on the North Shore. Nobody's hucking Molotov cocktails on the North
Quincy,
Shore.
Quincy, Roxbury, and Brockton, we all have to give the the preface of, I can tell you, before I describe that I know what this is like, let me tell you, I've never done it. But I have been around situations where... I mean, it's a lot of times it's, okay, neither of us have money. What can we do for each other? And this sounds a lot.
That's how a lot of unwanted
like
babies
to
happen.
Me. yes, you're. I have a lot of friends from Quincy who would never admit that, but it's true.
I mean, you know, look, up on the North Shore, like, we get into fights. You know, we drink.
We do that too.
A lot of drugs. Every now and again, somebody will get stabbed, but that's about it. Nobody's hucking Molotov cocktails around.
It's UB, I mean...
We don't set fire... There was one kid I went to school with who was setting fire to stuff, but that kid had a serious mental problem.
That's the thing.
He was a
it's
pyro.
It's not a mental problem thing. It's a... there's... In Quincy, there's a lot of... They all think it's West Side Story. and it's funny because now I don't live in Quincy and I go back to Quincy just to get some nostalgia or cheap gas or something. And I still go to Malachy's. Never Die Malachy's. It's my favorite bar at the bottom of my street. I've told you, the first place I ordered a beer when I was 16, 15 and a half. But when I was in that culture, it was totally normal for it's a very alliance, eye for an eye kind of culture. Like my friend Danny got stabbed 40 times when we were 17. By this guy from North Quincy, because people from North Quincy hate people from West Quincy.
Yeah, see, this
for
is...
For no reason.
This is like, you know...
Other than that, that's where they're from.
We'd rumble, but nobody's pulling out a knife.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's usually the rule, is it's like, don't bring a knife to a fist fight.
Yeah.
But so then, of course, Danny's in the hospital for months, and my friend John is very, very angry about it. And so everyone knows who did it. He spreads the word that he wants to see him. It was 10 guys from West Quincy and 20 guys from North Quincy, and the 10 guys from West Quincy beat the living hell out of the guys from North Quincy, and John focused on...
North Quincy's a bunch of punks.
And for some reason, and John focused on the guy that stabbed Danny and then told me I needed to do him the biggest favor of his life. And I was like, I'm not hiding anything for you.
Yeah, no, you're hiding your own weapons. Sorry.
He said, no, I just need a ride to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I said, are you hurt? He said, no, I just need to see Danny. I said, okay, I guess. Like, what the hell? And by the way, all the girls were just standing there watching. We just stood there and watched these guys beat the pants off each other.
Yeah.
That was just what Quincy culture is like. And so I brought him to the hospital, and he walked. We'd all visited him so much that, like, we looked at the nurse and we're like,
"That's again."
Visiting hours don't apply to us.
Yeah.
And he walked into the room and handed Danny the white Hanes t-shirt that he'd been wearing that was covered in Matt, the guy who stabbed him's blood, and says, you've been avenged. And he didn't tell me the entire time that that's what we were going there to do. But it's the moment that I understood, like, and I was on the outskirts, you know, like, I went to private school in a different town. It was like, I kind of had a foot in both, on both sides, or whatever the phrase is. But this kid didn't do this because he just randomly felt like doing this. He did it because someone compelled him to, with like 9 other reasons.
Yeah, see, we never.
And I just feel bad. Like, the fact that he's denying himself bail, it's not even that he can't make bail. I know he has friends that can get bail for him. He doesn't want to come out of prison. Think about what that says.
I knew people growing up who used to play chase with the cops on Friday and Saturday night for fun, including one time they broke into the country club and stole a bunch of golf carts, and the cops were chasing them around on golf carts.
See, I've done that. That's pretty funny.
Watertown knocked over one of our school buses once. That was a big deal. They actually rolled the school bus on its side. I knew a couple of girls who one night, their friends convinced them, these were good girls too. These were not girls that you would expect would ever do this. Our friends convinced them to break into a tow yard and steal back the car that had been impounded, which these girls were more than happy to do. But that was like, you know, our bad kids were like smoking pot.
Where were those friends when I was growing up?
Our bad kids were like smoking pot and like, you know, getting into fist fights.
See, ours were doing heroin and stabbing people.
And every now and again, you know, someone would smash into a tree drag racing. But there weren't gangs. I mean, there were cliques, but there weren't gangs.
Well, that's the thing is, like, they never called themselves gangs. It was just like, West Quincy likes Wollaston.
It's like nobody's event. It's like we weren't meeting on the town line and rumbling.
But they hate East Milton and North Quincy.
Like, Somerville.
I actually asked one of them once. I was just like, why do you hate East Milton? Like, because they're punks. And like, why are they punks? Like, why do you hate them? If I'm going to get on board with this rumble that you're organizing, yeah, I'm gonna need to have more information. And they all kind of just like looked down and searched their eyes everywhere. And then the biggest one looked up again and said, because they're punks.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
it's so absurd. By the way, hi guys, I miss you. High school was fun.
At the end of the day, we all had to go to the same roller world, and we all had to go to the same hockey town, so we all had to get along with each other.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
what I never understood.
That's what it was. So
Boston Bowl was breeding ground for the next rumble. It was absurd. Don't WMFO Medford, I love you all.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
It turned all summer today, didn't it? And it's going to stay that way. Hope you like it humid, kids. Oh, boy. Tonight, clear skies, lows in the low 70s. Hope you got the air conditioners in the windows because you're not sleeping too much otherwise. Tomorrow, Independence Day, partly cloudy, high in the mid 80s. Low again in the low 70s tomorrow night, and humid, humid, humid. Friday, we get a bit of a break from the humidity. Partly cloudy, but it's going to be 90. Low in the mid-70s Friday night. Saturday, thunderstorms in the afternoon, high around 90. Low around 70. You know that's going to be humid. And then Sunday, partly cloudy. No, still humid. High around 70 in the low 70s. Lows do fall back into the mid-60s on Sunday night. And then we get into a nice little... early next week is going to be a nice little refreshing pattern, less humid summer weather.
Ooh, nice.
But, yeah.
I like me some dry heat.
The steam is on for the next few days, kids, so hope you...
Yeah, I actually went to the beach this morning, and I jumped in, get out, and sat, and was like, nope, this is, we're done.
This is great beach weather. So that's one thing. If you got tomorrow off, go to the beach. I'm heading to the coast tomorrow.
Do it early, though. That's the key.
Yeah.
Like, do it before noon or after noon.
The Esplanade, not a place you're going to want to be tomorrow.
Nope.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. WMFO Medford is the radio station. On the Town with Mikey D is what happens at 9 o'clock tonight. But until then, Shea Spillane and I will be with you. When we come back, Massachusetts is the last state. Massachusetts is the last state. I'm going to finish that sentence. You're going to be annoyed. I am annoyed. This state is so backwards and so behind the times. It's horrifying.
Stop blue laws. If it's not, I'm going to be even more upset at
this. Isn't as bad as the registry thing, but gosh darn it, it's annoying. This is WMFO Medford.
Oh, goodness.
Many dangers, toils, and snares we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home.
She seemed all right by dawn's early light, though she looked a little worried and weak. She tried to pretend he wasn't drinking again, but Daddy left the proof on her cheek. And I was only 8 years old that summer, and I always seemed to be in the way. So I took myself down to the fair in town on Independence Day.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
I'm Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with the question, just how good is good? Good, the USDA's third quality grade for meat, is not as juicy and flavorful as the higher grades, Prime and Choice. But good is somewhat more lean, acceptably tender, and it's usually less expensive. You should cook most good grade meat with moist heat. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.